I speak to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. This is a two-part series. The first part was 3 years ago. it's like a triptych. If you're familiar with iconography, you have three panels. And the first panel is Jesus' baptism. And the second panel is Jesus' temptation. And the third panel is Jesus' mission statement and declaration of his intent. So those are the three parts. They're very intricately wound up together. So we need a little bit of background before I get there. But before I get there, I want to say what fun it is to be given this gospel on Chase's second Sunday, because it is the story of Jesus's new ministry, of his beginning. And so it's not difficult for me to see such parallels between what I share in the sermon and what is being enacted out in front of you. So keep that in mind as we go through this. So to give you a quick refresher from 3 years ago, because I'm sure you haven't remembered every single detail. At the baptism of Jesus, the Spirit descends on Jesus, and the voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's the end of the first panel. Second panel of the triptych. Immediately, Jesus went out into the wilderness, into the desert, and was tempted by Satan. Now, here what happened in the first panel, there was a declaration. This is. How does the temptation begin? If you. The declaration is immediately undermined by if you are the Son of God. The declaration was that you are loved without having started your ministry. The temptation was, prove it. Prove your worth. Turn those stones into bread, and then we will know that you're significant. That's the end of the second panel. This is going to be a short sermon. Dream on. Third panel. Okay. So he's anointed, he goes through a battle, and still comes out at the other end of it knowing that he is significant and has an identity as God's son. And on that basis, he starts his ministry. Well, it's interesting to me that Chase, in his previous parish, witnessed a rector implode and a parish find itself in a great battle. And you yourselves here at Christ Church have had your own struggles. And you both have emerged from a desert. And you have empathy for battle and difficulty. And now, though, you are beginning anew. And Jesus began his ministry, the first words in this third triptych, he went out in the power of the Spirit. Chase will not be going out in the power of his own competence, his own skills, his own ability. He's going out to do this ministry here in the power of the Spirit. He is also the anointed one. He is not the Eshkron, the Hebrew for anointed. Jesus was the Eshkron. He was the anointed one. That became one of his titles. But Chase is anointed by the Holy Spirit to do this ministry. Now, he was received, Jesus was received in Galilee, and the reception was astounding. It was more there was more adulation of Jesus's ministry than there was of a Michael Jordan or a Manning or a sports character. We don't go as far as saying we glorify these sports characters. We act as if we do, but we would never dream of using the language because it sounds so over the top. But it said that the people of Galilee glorified in what Jesus was doing and who he was. Now, where's the relationship back to the second triptych in that? What did Satan say? He said to Jesus, "If you worship me, I will give you glory in the world." It was an outright lie, which is what we'd expect from the deceiver. He was attempting to deceive Jesus by saying, there are conditions to get people to like you. And Jesus did not fall for that. And in fact, he got the glory of people anyway. In Nazareth, it said, all spoke well of him. And one of the reasons was because Jesus focused on the scriptures. He lived out the scriptures. And in Nazareth, what was said of him was that he spoke with such grace. Chase, that will be one of the things that will be noted. When you speak with such grace, all will indeed speak well of you. Now, if the people lay hands on this new priest with criticism, he will question his identity, he will question his significance, and he will lose his confidence in the gospel. If this congregation lays hands on him and declares him as the anointed one, he will retain his confidence that he is significant to God, significant to the people of God, and he will be clear in his identity. Jesus went out to do his new ministry in the power of the Spirit. It was teamwork. The Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father had anointed him, the Holy Spirit was going with him, and Jesus was declaring the scriptures, the word of God. There was an incredible teamwork which made Jesus so remarkably successful. In this sense, you as a congregation are the Holy Spirit. You go with Chase, and together you are anointed to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to Phoenix. There is a profound team ministry required for fruitfulness. Now, our gospel today contains Jesus's mission statement. So I was intrigued to talk to Chase and say to him, "Chase, what's your mission statement?" It was a test, of course, 10 minutes before we began church this morning. He passed remarkably well. He was so clear about his mission statement. He said it is to bring the transforming love of Jesus Christ to the people of Phoenix, to disciple them in the love of God. And he then added a footnote. And it is because when I was in a very low, broken time in my life, and I saw what Jesus's love for me did, what his transforming life for me did, that I had the confidence that that is what my mission statement needs to be. So Chase has the right pedigree. He has an evangelical zeal and a Catholic liturgical sense, and is very aware of his own limitations. To me, that is an absolutely winning combination. In fact, when the search committee asked me what did I think about this candidate, I said, go for it. So if you have any criticisms, you know where to go. And it's not to Chase. Well, let's, in 2 minutes, look at the mission statement of Jesus. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Poor, the word for poor here is is not just those who don't have money. It's Matthew's version of the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. I suspect that when Chase had his encounter with the living Christ, he wasn't necessarily broke, but there was a poverty in his spirit at that time which caused him to realize, where else can I go but to the Lord of heaven and earth? And so Jesus' ministry is to all those who have a desperate need for God in their life because they see their own poverty. And if you are sitting in the pew today or sitting up there and you recognize that you're in trouble because of your poverty of spirit, then Jesus is there as the one you run to. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. I have found over 44 years of ordained ministry that seeing people set free from their captivity, whether it be the captivity of a bad job, a bad marriage, a bad living situation, not set free by trading in one version for another version, but set free to make restitution, to make healing, to release the captives. And then the recovery of sight to the blind. The translation that perhaps would be more accurate would be those who are in darkness, that they would come out of their darkness. It's a bit like poverty of spirit and poor. It is broader than physical blindness. Although, of course, Jesus healed the blind, and we need to see the blind healed. But there are worse blindnesses than that there's of sight. Although, of course, that is one of the most challenging of all situations for a human being. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. And finally, to speak of the year of the Lord's favor. Are you aware that when Jesus quoted from Isaiah 61, he omitted the last line? He didn't quote the whole quote. And today we would say that's not a good thing. But it was a good thing because the Old Testament and the New Testament are really different. What line did Jesus leave out? To preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the vengeance of our God. This is not the year of the vengeance of our God. This is the year of the Lord's favor. Now, the Lord will return on a white horse, and there will be justice. But we're not in that season yet. We're in the Lord's favor and his graciousness. And that's what you and Chase are here to declare, God's favor, God's love, that he calls us his children. He says he loves us without us doing anything. And then invites us to our own mission. And so I would ask you today, go home and write out your mission statement. Now, I've just begun a new ministry. It's called Retirement. I began on January the 1st. And my friends say to me silly things like, what are you going to do? Lower your golf handicap? And I say, well, that would actually take a miracle. That would not be a mission statement. That would be a hobby. To have more time to relax, that would not be a mission statement. That would be an avoidance. So I won't tell you my mission statement because this is about Chase today. But I have a new mission statement. for retirement. And it has to do with the acceptable year of the Lord. It has to do with releasing captives, to setting free those who are oppressed, sight to the blind. And I hope your mission statement is as exciting as mine seems to be for these next years, God willing. May the Lord bless you. Amen.